Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. The Lord is so good. Father, I love you so much, and I thank you for these precious people. Thank you for the opportunity, the fulfillment of your word in assembling together. Thank you that you've allowed us to be a part of a country that honors freedom of religion and the peaceable assembly thereby. And as we assemble peaceably together, I sanctify this ground. I sanctify every heart. I sanctify every home. I curse COVID-19 in Jesus' name. I curse poverty in Jesus' name. I thank you for strength to work and wisdom to profit and your word to be fulfilled in all of our lives. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen and amen. I want to encourage you as we continue to share the subject of being a counterculture in the midst of a culture of death, a culture of darkness, a culture of hate. God has called us, his people, to be a counterculture to that, a culture of life, a culture of light, and a culture of love. And we live in some challenging times. We live in some dark times, and I believe we're coming close to the end, and we could be coming into truly the end of the end times. And the Bible warns us of great deception. The Bible warns us of great darkness coming upon the entire face of the earth. And as the people of God, we're supposed to be prepared for these things. We're supposed to be equipped. We're supposed to be, again, a counter culture to this culture that we're raising our children in now and our grandchildren in. I want to focus in on being a culture of light today, and that the darkness that we're facing is very real. It's very threatening. It's very serious. And so we need to take God's word very serious and our call as being children even of light in the kingdom of God that's in the midst of all of these other kingdoms. In 1 John, if you'll go ahead and turn to John chapter 1, it'll be a little bit before I get there, but in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, John speaking, this is the message. I love that and how it starts. This is the message that we have heard and declare unto you, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He that says he has fellowship with God, he that says that he's on a God mission, he that says he's a part of a God cause and fellowship with God and walks in darkness is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if we say we have fellowship with God and walk with God, then we are to have fellowship now one with another. Amen. God is about unity. God is about reconciliation. God is about bringing about the new creation and us all being one and unified in Jesus Christ. When you see unity, when you hear people talking about reconciliation, when you hear people talking about being one and coming together as one in Christ, that has the fingerprints of God on it. When you hear people, they literally use strife and division and hate and anger to divide the masses, that is not of God. That is not of God. It has the fingerprints, literally, of the devil on it. It's darkness. And we have to be a loving counterculture of light to any culture of darkness. Darkness in the Bible is the condition of fallen man without God. A man without God is in a condition of darkness. The reason you and I should understand this is we used to be men and women without God. We all used to be part of a kingdom of darkness. We all used to be fallen and separated from God and thought we were smart, thought we were wise, thought we were holy, thought we were godly, thought we were just, thought we were righteous, when in fact, we were separated from God and in a condition that the Bible calls darkness. Listen, darkness is the absence of light or the absence of God. Darkness can only exist if there's no light. and light is greater than darkness. Now, we all feel in this hour and in our country that darkness seems to be stronger than light. Darkness seems to be more powerful than light. Lies seem to have more power and a grip on the mind of man than truth on the mind and heart of man. And yet the Bible is that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And it's when God shows up in our hearts and God shows up in our lives and God shows up in our culture that darkness has to flee. Amen. It cannot stay. It cannot stand. And darkness knows no boundaries. If darkness is not stopped with light, if darkness isn't opposed with light, then it has no boundaries and it has no depth. Darkness is progressive, just like light is progressive, and it will get worse and worse and worse. It'll go deeper and darker and deeper and darker until the light shows up. Thank God for the Word of God that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank God for the Word of God, that the entrance of God's Word bringeth light and understanding to the simple. Don't raise your hand on this, but am I the only one that every now and then I look at our world today, I turn the TV on today, and I get confused, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with us? Thank God for the simplicity of the Word of God. God's Word will make things simple and clear in our lives. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, these words are still alive today, written thousands of years ago, and yet they apply to what we're all facing in our world today. Isaiah says, and I wish I had time, I've got so many scriptures, but I wish I had time to read that whole chapter. If you'll go back from verse 20 all the way back to verse 1, all the things that Israel was now participating in, all their rejections of God, all their rebellion to God, it had all just come to a head. And in Isaiah 5:20, God says, woe unto them. Woe unto them that call evil good, that call good evil, that call dark light, and that call light dark, that call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. There's never been a word more alive today that we're having to raise our children in the midst of, because we have people celebrating evil, calling it good, than when somebody tries to stand up and say something good, say the truth, or speak the truth even in love, they're called evil. They're called evil. We have to learn how to deal with this. We have to learn how to face this. And barring a supernatural intervention of God, your children are going to be raised in a culture of death, and that only people who die that can be used for a political gain are honored, and people that are normal people, everyday people like you and me, our lives do not count and our lives do not matter. The only lives that matter in a culture of death are those that you can leverage to empower yourself to enslave the masses. To enslave the masses. Man, we got to counter that with life. And deception is at an all-time high. Falsehood is at an all-time high. Listen, and an attack on truth is increasing. This is what darkness does. Darkness, because it doesn't have the power to overcome the light. And darkness, because it doesn't have the power to counter light, it has to try to destroy light. Because light by nature destroys it. And we have to be wise as a serpent in these last days and harmless as doves. And we've got to spend time with our children and make sure we're teaching them the Word of God, the ways of God, the principles of God. Let's talk about Jesus, the light culture here for a moment. In your notes, they'll put it up. I was just going to start it. Chapter 9, verse 1, but it starts off with nevertheless. And that just doesn't work in most cases. I know every one of you read Isaiah chapter 8 this week. Now you know how many people didn't read it. And so for me to jump right into chapter 9, Chapter 8, again, is amazing. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I just want to read the end of chapter 8 as it goes into chapter 9 to bring a better context. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Someone may say to you, I want you to think for a minute. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult with the spirits of the dead. Let's seek mediums. Let's seek wizards. Let's seek those that consult among the dead. Do you realize if you turn the 6 o'clock on, you're going to be witnessing the walking dead? No, I'm not talking about a movie. I'm talking about the walking dead, that people are literally dead in their sins and trespasses, and the country is looking to the walking dead for answers of our problems. He goes, you're going to hear this. Let's ask the mediums and those who consult with the spirits of the dead. Listen to this. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. People who consult the living dead, people who consult wizards, people who worship false gods, they will tell us what to do. They'll tell us when and where we can go to work. They'll tell us when and where we can go to school. They'll tell us when and where we can go to church. Why, the streets are filled with riots and a revolution that is percolating, and it's not condemned, it is celebrated. You're forbidden to go to church. Aren't you at least glad for Victory Life Church that we're going to have church? In other places in the country, they literally are fined for going to church. While people are marching in the streets, and we're told it's not a threat to COVID-19, and it's not a problem for people to riot, it's not a problem for people to loot, it's not a problem for people to injure their fellow neighbors, it's not a problem for them to injure law enforcement, it's a problem for us to come together and worship the true and the living God. The Bible warns of all of this stuff, and we have to understand it so that when I and people like me come under assault, you won't be shook. When we're told we can't assemble any longer, you won't be shook. He goes on, it's just like this was written for today. He says, look at this, I'll read it again. He says, with their whisperings and their mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should we go to God? When are we going to repent as a country? When are we as the church going to repent and go to God and say, wait a minute, I want to know what God has to say about this. I want to know what God has to say about justice. Because God's justice is just. God's justice is righteous. God's justice is non-prejudiced. God's justice has no racial bias in it whatsoever. God's justice is righteous. God's justice is pure. God's justice is consistent. God's justice has equity in it. Amen or oh me. Amen. Yet what we hear called justice today is outright rebellion to God. It's lawlessness. Do you know, dear ones, and perhaps some of you don't, and if I have failed you, I'm sorry, I will do better. But did you know what the number one sign of the spirit of Antichrist is? Lawlessness. Lawlessness is the Antichrist. And we got the living dead demanding that we dismantle law enforcement. Saints, every culture has a criminal element to it. Every culture that has ever existed on this planet, because of sin, because of Satan, because of man's poor choices, has a criminal element to it, and the criminal element would love for there not to be any law enforcement. It's almost like, what is wrong with us? We've lost our minds. And I can't even begin to even speak into most of this stuff publicly. I can't, in a forum like this, begin to just point blank say this, say this, say this, because people can't hear. People hate themselves so much, they now hate their fellow man. They hate their country, and their ultimate hate is for God and His Word. And I love you. I'm going to say something I've never said. I don't say it. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I know we want to reach everybody. I know that we have a heart for mean people and we need to love them and we need to reach them and for people that want to destroy the country, that want to use the Bill of Rights to destroy the Bill of Rights. That's how slow we've become. You can't use the Bill of Rights to now destroy the Bill of Rights. And while we want to reach people and we need to reach people, the Bible tells us that some people have rejected God and they're of a reprobate mind. They don't have a mind capable of containing God. It's not my place, it's not your place to judge who that is, but it is our place to understand some people are reprobate. Some people are just plain evil. They're plain mean, and guess what they want to get rid of? Law. Any constraints. They want all constraints thrown off. And the sad thing is, most of those people, if they don't find God, are going to go to a devil's hell, and they're going to find out they can't march in a devil's hell. They can't protest in a devil's hell. They will be bound by chains for eternity. And we want to sit back and make sure we're being nice. And don't misunderstand me. I am nice. I don't have to try to be nice. I am nice. Amen or oh me. I am kind. I am loving. I am patient. I am caring. All of those things are a part of my person and who I am. But we are facing some times of great deep darkness that if somebody doesn't speak up and tell the truth in love, we could wake up one day and it'd be too late. It'd be too late. He says, we need to seek God's guidance. Shouldn't we seek God's guidance? Shouldn't the living, I've already taught you who the living are and who the dead are. The living are those who love God. The living are those who embrace God. God is our life. The dead are those who reject God, reject His word, reject His ways, reject His righteousness. He says, but shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Shouldn't the living seek guidance? Or should the living seek guidance from the dead? We are allowing the world to determine our actions even as Christians or as a church. You know, I want to believe that that silence, that deafening silence was just processing. Was just processing. Do you realize, I mean, the Bible, I got so much, bless my heart, help me, Jesus, but I mean, got to the introduction, but the Bible speaks to five different groups primarily. There may be more. If you know more, please write me, because I'll be smarter than you after that, because I already know what I know, and then you tell me what you know, I'll know what you know and what I know, so I'm smarter than you. So you go ahead and write me if you know something I don't know, but five groups of people the Bible specifically speaks to and give certain commands to individuals. God has spoken to us individually, and we're all accountable for our actions. We're accountable for our words. We're accountable for our lives. We're not going to be able to stand before God and claim any victim status. You're accountable for yourself. You individually are accountable for the poor around you, and whatever means you have that you've been blessed by God, you should share with the poor. Then there's the church. We have specific commandments for the church. And now that we are commanded to make sure we visit people in jail, that we clothe the naked, that we feed hungry people, that we preach the gospel. Listen, that we make disciples of the nations. We don't even know what the word disciple means. The word disciple means discipline. I'm supposed to discipline you with truth. I'm supposed to discipline you with the truth. You're supposed to go from a convert to a disciple. I'm under commandment by God to whip you. Make a disciple out of you. Straighten you up. And I'm responsible to do that to the nations. Take the gospel to the nations. Third group of people are employers, employees, master-servant relationships. And how that we are to treat one another with respect. And that the workman is due his wages and don't withdraw wages from the workman. And treat servants with respect as masters, as employers-employee relationships. Any kind of authority and under authority relationship, we have specific commandments. And then there's commandments to the government in the Bible. Think about that. Commandments to the government, then there's commandments to families. You have specific commandments, dads, to make a baby and raise a baby, to feed a baby, to love your wives, to nurture your wives. Specific commandments for the family, and that the family's supposed to take care of the family. The government has one simple command right out of the Bible from God. Protect the innocent and punish the evil. That's all God says about government. Protect the innocent, protect the innocent, protect the innocent. And punish the evil. And yet in our culture of death and darkness and hate, the one role the government's supposed to do, when the government steps up to do it, they get attacked now. That it's okay to tear down businesses. It's okay to loot. It's okay to burn. It's okay to attack a cop. It's okay to wound them. This is wrong. And see, some people, there's people so mad at me right now when I have labored, our church has labored, our pastors have labored to make sure that we communicate against corruption within law enforcement and that we need to punish anyone in law enforcement that abuses their power, period. That means the FBI, the CIA that has tried to destroy a sitting president. They need to go to jail. Cops that abuse people need to go to jail. But see, you can't say any of that and it not turn racial and it not turn political. All of us are afraid of cops. But boy, I'll be tarred and feathered making that statement. That I'm scared when I get pulled over by a cop. I'm full of fear when I get pulled over by a cop. And I'm not doing anything wrong. Amen or oh me. I accidentally sped. I don't speed. But I was just in the flesh or something. But I was coming home from a meeting. I had just been actually, I remember now. I had been awarded by one of the Indian tribes. The chief of an Indian tribe gave me a bow and an arrow and honored me in the community and that kind of thing. And so, anyway, it was an awesome time, awesome meeting we had. And so I was driving home, and I had two girls. Which girls did I have in the back? I had Gabriella, Rick's daughter, probably Shekinah. And anyway, I just got close to home, and foot got heavy. It was late. And, man, I saw the beautiful lights. And it was not Christmas. And just panic struck me, and I pull over, and I'm just nervous. Well, the girls are laughing and excited that dad's in trouble, pastor's in trouble, you broke the law. So I'm trying to quiet them down. Do not make this any worse. Cop comes up to the car, sees me, and goes, "Pastor Dwayne." Girls are cracking up. He just said, "I want you to know this is the greatest honor of my life to get to pull you over." And I'm thinking, it isn't the greatest honor of my life. My girls are laughing and wanting me to go to jail. And the point is, we today want to make everything racial for political cause. And it cannot be true among us within the church. It cannot be true among us as believers. We have to be a culture of light, meaning a culture of truth and a culture of love versus this culture of hate and division and strife and anger and unforgiveness and vengeance and bitterness that God has called us out of. He goes on to say in verse 20, look to God's instructions and teachings. Think about that. Look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict His word are completely in the dark. They will go from one place to another, weary and hungry. And because they are hungry, what are they hungry for? They're not hungry for food. They're hungry for power. They're hungry to bully the masses. They're hungry to impose their will on other people. Look at this. And because they are hungry, they will rage and curse their king and their God. They will look up to heaven and down to earth, but wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be drowned out or driven out into the darkness. Then, chapter 9 says, nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Aren't you glad that the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever? God is alive. God cares. God cares about racial reconciliation. God cares about corruption being dealt with at every level and every institution. God cares about facing true wrongs and being honest about true wrongs, but making things right. They're made right. They're made right in the eyes of God. It will not go on forever. Verse 2 says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light shall shine. He's talking about in context there, Israel and the coming of Messiah. He's talking about Jesus, and when he came in a world of darkness. You think what we're seeing today is new? Man without God hates himself. Man without God self-loathes. And in that hating of himself, he begins to hate his fellow man. Regardless of his gender, regardless of his race, man without God hates himself, hates his neighbor, and in time hates everything around him. And God came into a world that was on fire with death and darkness and hate. Jesus was that came into the midst of the darkness. Isaiah went on to say, in his writings in Isaiah 42, verse 7, when Jesus comes, when the Messiah comes, he will open blind eyes. Now, we know historically from the Gospels, Jesus opened men's blind eyes. But how many of you know Jesus opening blind eyes isn't restricted to physical sight? He opens the blind eyes of man's heart to God's love for him. He opens the blind eyes of God's care and nurturing and wanting to intervene in the affairs of our lives and bring even good out of ashes. The Messiah will come. He will open blind eyes to bring out the prisoners from prison and them that sat in darkness out of the prison house. God is still in the business of bringing people out of darkness. God is still in the business of opening people's lives. And we need to be praying, and we need to be speaking the truth in love where people can have an opportunity for faith to come and turn from fear to faith, turn from hate to love, turn from division to a peace that passes all understanding, that not only gives us peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but now because we're at peace with God, we're finally at peace with ourselves. Because we love God now, we can love ourselves with a holy love, and now we can go horizontal and love one another regardless of our color, regardless of our gender, regardless of our financial backgrounds. We can love with God's love. We cannot do that without God. We cannot do that without His Word. John chapter 1, it speaks of Jesus, how He was in the beginning with God and was God, and that He created all things. And in John chapter 1, we'll pick it up in verse 6, it says, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but they didn't know him or recognize him. He came to his own people, and they rejected him. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, very familiar passage. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I had the privilege And I just, perhaps he's watching from Pakistan, Pastor John. I had the privilege to minister with two other pastors in Pakistan. And through a live feed. And we saw in 1 hour, 637 people give their life to Jesus through a live feed. 635 or 37 people in 1 hour gave their life. I'm telling you, the light is shining. I'm telling you, God is moving. I'm telling you, God is speaking. I'm telling you, God cares. I'm telling you, God is patient for the harvest, and that he's not giving up on any of us. And if we will continue to stand and do the right thing, live the kind of lives, model a culture of life, model a culture of light among ourselves, being honest with one another and having integrity and treating one another with respect and with honor, we can be that witness, and the Holy Spirit can use that to convict those that are in darkness, even as we were once in darkness. So, verse 17 goes on to say, God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes. Now, I'm in the New Living Translation. I need to do this with the King James. I think that's what's on the screen, right? There is a screen. They haven't abandoned all of my ways. Verse 17 says in the King James Bible, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth is condemned already. When you reject God, you live in condemnation. When you reject God, you live under condemnation. So if all you are is condemned, what can you only do? Condemn others. That's why God wants to bring us as his people out of condemnation into the position of righteousness and faith in him, so that we can love him, love our neighbor now as ourselves. They're condemned already. Why are they condemned? Because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation. This is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is what we're witnessing. We're not witnessing just people confused. We're not witnessing a generation of young people that are coming up that are just confused. We're witnessing people that love darkness. They embrace the darkness. They love lies. They celebrate politicians that lie the best. I mean, the better you can lie, the more you are honored and allegiances are made. People loving darkness. People loving hate. You know, I won't ask you to raise your hands again, but God's changed my life, but that doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. God, the light of the world has come into my heart and life and made me light, but that doesn't mean I never get confused. It doesn't mean I never make a mistake. It doesn't mean I'm always right. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm right more than I'm wrong. And so I have to choose daily to choose light over my feelings, choose truth over my own belief systems. I may have stumbled in darkness, but I don't love darkness. I may have fallen into darkness at times, and many of you have, but you didn't embrace it. You didn't celebrate it. You didn't mandate it on the masses. That's what darkness does. That's what the nature of the devil is to enslave the masses, enslave people's minds, enslave their speech, enslave their movement. And he does it through darkness. Look at Colossians chapter 1, and I need somebody, hopefully, to shout. Colossians chapter 1, Paul is praying for us, the church. And in his prayer, he says in verse 12 that he's giving thanks. Let me make sure I'm supposed to go to the New King James on this one. New King James Bible. He's praying And he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in what? Very good. We've been called by God. We've been told by God, come out from among them. And when I talk about them, I'm not talking about a certain people group. I'm not making a racial statement. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about the mind of the world. I'm talking about the spirit of Antichrist, a substitute for God. Come out from among them. He says, you've been partakers and made partakers of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Aren't you glad you're forgiven of your sins? Aren't you glad you've been cleansed? Aren't you glad you've been washed? Then why would you let anyone try to condemn you of the sins of people hundreds of years ago? I'm not being mean. I'm not even being combative. I'm not being contentious. I'm being honest and I'm being truthful. God has forgiven me of my sins and cleansed me of all my sins and justified me and made me righteous in His eyes. Who is a man to tell me I'm not righteous in the sight of God? I'm not forgiven. I'm not washed. I'm not cleansed. I'm not a new creation. We have allowed the world to identify us with Adam for so many decades that the majority of God's people don't know how to identify with Christ. And when the world tries to get you to identify with your flesh, you get confused. I'm not identified with Adam any longer. I'm not living in the flesh and after the flesh any longer. I'm a spiritual man now. I'm a new creation man now. I'm a part of a nation, a new nation. I'm a part of a new race, a grace race, in which there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Gentile. I have been made a holy priesthood, and I am to show forth the praises of Him who called me out of that darkness. Marvelous light. We're supposed to be praising God for who we are in Christ, not letting the world condemn us for who we're not in Adam. And yet the masses are being manipulated with flesh and identification with your flesh instead of your new identification now with Christ. Jesus is the answer to every problem we're facing today. The kingdom of God is the solution. There's no hope for this world without God, and there's no answers for any problems we have in this world without God. And you know what? For the first time in my life, I don't care if I get emails. I don't care if some of you quit. I do care. I'd like you to stay. You can quit, but send your tithe. I don't want to make anybody mad. I don't want to inflame anybody. But for the first time in my life, I don't care if my hair is on fire. I am a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are supposed to be a counterculture. And if you think we're facing hard times now, the early Christians confessed Jesus with their mouth publicly as Lord and not Caesar. This is what caused them to be fed to the lions. This is what caused them to be persecuted, prosecuted, and executed, is they refused to bow their knee to anything but Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Lord of all. And we got Christians today that are ashamed of the lordship of Jesus, ashamed of our faith, ashamed of our prosperity that has come from God. God has blessed this country. God has prospered us. Unfortunately, like Israel, we haven't learned our lesson. And in our wealth and in our prosperity and in our arrogance, we've walked away from God. And now everything's collapsing. We have to come home. We have to come home as a country. We have to come home as a church to Jesus. Go to Isaiah 59. And let me show you what's happening to every believer, and we have to get better equipped. Isaiah 59, again, a chapter, I wish I could read the whole thing. It's just so, so good. God's word is alive. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. If you could just read the verses 1 through 12, I have to start at verse 12. What translation am I doing? New King James? Good. It talks about great darkness. It talks about Israel refusing to worship the true and the living God. Him blessing them. Him loving them. Him prospering them. Him healing them. Him making them the head, not the tail. All the wonderful things that come from knowing God, from serving God. And yet they turned on Him. And they began to spiral down into darkness. They begin to spiral down in lies and falsehoods. And then I pick it up. It says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify." Our sins testify against us. "For our transgressions are with us, and as far as our iniquities, we know them. In transgression and lying against the Lord, and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt. We've departed from you, O God, and all we can speak is revolt." And yet, we have entire cities being overtaken by thugs and rioters, revolutionists, entire blocks, commandeered, courts being burnt down, and yet some in the media, many, most in the media, are still calling it peaceful protest. Dear God, I hate, what's a violent protest? If peaceful protest is breaking windows of businesses and looting, burning businesses down, burning courthouses down, if that's peaceful, what's on the horizon for us, saints? What are your kids going to face if we don't wake up? If we don't lovingly, with the right kind of spirit, make a stand? He goes, we've been speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Just lie after lie after lie after lie. Destroying people's lives. Destroying people's livelihoods. Destroying the harmony we've had. We've always had problems in this country, saints. We've always had people doing bad things that have to be confronted and have to be dealt with within and without. But today, we're having to navigate through so much falsehood. Even trying to sit down with somebody and talk, it's just one lie after another lie after another lie, one falsehood after another falsehood. We're uttering from our heart words of falsehood. Look at this. "Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For the truth is fallen in the street, and iniquity cannot, fairness cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey," makes himself a target. When we don't understand God's justice, true justice goes back. Truth falls in the streets. And it's okay and it's righteous and holy now to shoot innocent civilians. I struggle with this stuff. I'm asking God. I begged God. I don't beg God usually, but I did. I begged God, help me hold my tongue and say only that which would be from you. Because of the seriousness of what we're facing and the falsehoods, and how do you speak into it with a pure heart, God? How do you explain to people the ungodliness, the evil of a policeman killing a man in the street? And then now all the policemen that have been killed and all the innocent people that have been killed that you don't know their names. All in the name of justice. destroying livelihoods, destroying people's dreams. Innocent black people being killed. The numbers just escalating in these cities of New York, Chicago, Seattle, Portland, Oregon. All these hot spots of it seems like it's people of color that are suffering the most from this insanity. And to speak up, to even say, wait a minute, something's wrong here, you become a target. You become, people are afraid. I'm amazed at how many preachers are afraid. They're afraid, preachers. Holy Ghost-filled preachers are afraid. Politicians that are really afraid. Businesses. The Bible calls it extortion that's going on. That are having to sign off on Marxism. Having to sign off and agree with socialism because they're afraid. They got to pay the mob off. We dealt with the mob. Young people, you don't even know who the mob is. We had to deal with the mob. In the 40s and 50s. Of corruption, of killing and murdering and injustice. And it had to be dealt with if we're going to have a civil society, if we're going to be able to raise our children in a safe place. And yet if you speak up, there's one word you can't say, hydroxychloroquine. I can't say it. Hydroxychloroquine. Actually, I can say it, but I can't say it. And if I say it, I mean, just this week, doctors on the Supreme Court steps, trying to just show evidence of how they have medicated people with hydroxychloroquine. I can say it, hydroxychloroquine, and like they got censored. I've only been shook one time. Really shook. But even Madonna tried to retweet what happened, and she got censored. And I'm telling you, when we censor Madonna, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. I mean, it's like, you censored Madonna? What is wrong with you? I have black friends. I'm going to say this. I love you. I have black friends that have tried to stand up against some things, and the names they are called. Black Lives Matter, Inc. doesn't care about any black lives that disagree with them. And these people are persecuted. These people are called names. I don't want to name the names. I get ill. That's what I mean. I'm struggling to have to face this stuff and go, we got to be different. We can't be a party to this. People of color, the law enforcement, being called names by true white supremacists. And they get a pass and they get glorified because of their just cause. Marxism and communism and socialism always justifies the means because of their so-called end of equity and fairness. And we're seeing it. We're witnessing it. And people don't know what to do. Businesses don't know what to do. Churches don't know what to do. Individuals don't know what to do. The only thing I know to do is to trust God. The only thing I know to do is to speak the truth in love. The only thing I know to do is to love everybody and love everybody enough to tell them the truth. All of this censorship. I heard a commercial yesterday. I almost drove the car off the road. I don't know who it was. I don't want to. That's not the issue. But the commercial was that we've got to stand against bullying in our school systems. And our poor children are growing up being bullied. Well, where are they learning bullying? Where do they see that bullying is pushed back? Where do they see that bullying and imposing your will and threatening anybody that doesn't agree with you? We're so deceived, we think our children are the only ones being bullied when companies are being bullied, churches are being bullied, organizations are being bullied. And everybody's afraid. We're experiencing the perfect storm with a worldwide pandemic, COVID-19. And the powers of darkness are taking advantage of a crisis, a real crisis. And one of the reasons I stood against Obamacare and was called a racist was because I knew if the government could ever have full control of medicine, it would all become political. And now you get to see it. Now you're watching it. And we're going to have to face now, even if a cure comes out or a vaccine comes out, are we going to be forced to take it? Well, they'd never do that, not in America. Well, they won't let you go to work. They won't let you go to church. They won't let you go out without a mask. And I'm not against masks. See, we have people that are high risk, and I get all that, and I've said it. That if you need a mask, please wear a mask. But now it went from wearing a mask to now we got to wear goggles. I'm going to be preaching soon in a hazmat suit before this insanity is over. And yet people are afraid. And we've got to learn from this. We've got to grow from this. Look at what the devil can use fear to do. And we have to be a culture that is a culture of faith. And that says, yes, we're wise. And yes, we care about one another. If you have a fever, stay home. If you're sick, call the elders of the church. We'll come to you. Yeah. That's what the Bible says. Call the elders of the church. We'll come pray for you because we're not afraid. But we can't hunker down and watch our country implode. Can I just do one more scripture? Please. I'm staying over here. Philippians, I'll quit. I really didn't get very far. Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. What translation? New King James. Verse 14. Do all things without complaining and murmuring. Do all things without complaining and murmuring. Oh, my God. I don't think anybody marching in the street has that scripture on their refrigerator. Do all things without just complaining and whining and murmuring, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now, that was written and anointed by the Holy Spirit, and in a book that is an eternal book. Some people would consider Paul insensitive, rude, mean. I dare him call our generation a crooked and perverse generation. We are holy. We're righteous. We're justice warriors. Amen or oh me. We're having to raise our precious kids in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How do we shine as lights in the world? Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain and labored in vain. You know, that was one of the things that I haven't processed, that when I died and when I came back and when I kept kind of stepping over and stepping back, I did have the thought, did I run in vain? Was anybody listening? Did anybody care? Is everybody upset at me for simply trying to save them from sin, save them from a mean devil, save them from a horrible hell? Save them from a life of anger. Save them from a life of bitterness. Did I run in vain, Lord? And all I know is that I'm so glad that I'm here with you today to ask you not to run in vain. We all feel like our lives just don't matter. I hate to admit that publicly. I struggle with, does it really matter? Is it worth the hassle? Is it worth what the president goes through every day? Is one of the most amazing things I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. The falsehoods, the attacks. such a flawed man. How could he be as flawed as he is, Lord? He's more flawed than me, Lord. I'm serious. He's got more flaws than I have. I'm running a close second, but he's so flawed. But to see him stand, to see him fight, to see him... I told the third service, I'm off camera hopefully now, and I had the privilege of being on a phone call, invited with other pastors to a phone call with the president. Amen. And it was amazing. Amen. How much he cares about our religious freedom, how much he asked us to pray for him, how much he asked us. When this first started, he asked us to please step up in our communities. He asked us to be there saying that the government's not going to be able to fix this and the government's not going to be able to do what a local church can do. You can talk about all these other presidents all you want. None of them called me. None of them invited me on a phone call. And yet I got to hear the heart of a man that really does care about our religious freedom. He might not be living up to it. He acts about like most of you. But he cares about our religious freedom. He's the first president since Roe versus Wade that attended in person a pro-life rally. First president to ever do that. I just said a couple things, and you know what will be written about me now? You know what I'll be accused of? Sucking up to the president. He's just a mad Republican. He's just an insane worshiper of Donald Trump. These people don't hate Donald Trump. They hate our country and they hate you. That's who they hate. And we can't hate back. We're going to figure out a way to get through this in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these precious people. I thank you for their children. I thank you for our schools. And Lord, amen. It was George Wallace that stood at the doors of the school and wouldn't let the kids in. And now that same party is standing at the doors and won't let our kids in. Father, I just thank you that our kids will not grow up ignorant. They will not grow up in darkness. That you've called us to educate them, and we will educate our children. And I thank you, and I pray we don't see the day that our kids can't go to school, but we who disagree with it will be sent off to re-education camps. I pray a blessing on our children. I pray wisdom on our children. I pray light over our children. I pray for jobs, raises, promotions. I pray whatever the devil has stolen from any businessman, any businesswoman, I claim it back sevenfold in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. In his name I pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen.